This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day Savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day Savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben.
Ben, today's topic is one that I am a huge fan of. This is something that I was eager to do once we got the suggestion.
Yeah, this was a listener suggestion, or I should say this is a listener suggestion from our friend Alex R. Yeah.
Alex wrote in beginning of this year, first day of this year, as a matter of fact, and said, hi, Scott and Ben. I've enjoyed listening to your podcast for the past few months. It's provided hours of entertainment for me while I'm out on the road. My brother, Ben... Ben R., I won't give his full name, and I both own Ford Festivas, not Fiestas.
Important distinction.
On its surface, the Festiva is an old, semi-obscure, cheap, captive, import car not many people care about. Oh, I don't know about that. I care about them. However, the Festiva and cars like it enjoy a strong cult following, which is very true. The Festiva, in particular, is a popular platform for hypermiling and performance modifications thanks to its lightweight. It only weighs about 1,750 pounds, and a plethora of Mazda engines that are fairly straightforward to swap in if you choose to do that. I'd love to hear a podcast about the economy cars of the late 80s and early 90s, discussing how they rose and fell in the American market and the people that love them today. In my mind, cars like the Festiva, the Geo Metro, the Suzuki Swift, and even the true oddballs like the Daihatsu Sherrod and the infamous Yugo were the last true U.S. market cars that were designed specifically for no-frills transportation in the tradition of the great people's car.
Like people, cars for the people.
Well, yeah, like the Volkswagen Beetle, right?
Right.
Something like that. So, yeah, it goes on to say that I've included a few pictures of my Festivas, past and present, two aqua-colored cars and one white, as well as my brother's Festiva, which is the one in red.
Uh-huh.
So, thanks for reading. So, Alex, when we got this note, I was actually really excited about it. I believe I responded to this one too right away and said, yeah, we're going to look into this for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that is exactly what we've done today, because it's a fascinating decade of cars, the 1980s.
Right. And what we're going to find as we're looking at this decade is that there were some achievements made back then and due to a number of factors that are just now maybe being replicated.
Yeah, I guess so. And well, sort of. I mean, we'll get to if they are being replicated or not, because I don't really think that they are. The truth is that the most efficient cars that we have today tend to be the hybrids and the all-electric cars, of course, right?
Right, right.
So kind of put it in a ballpark perspective, the hybrid cars of today, the 2015, 2016 models are not quite achieving the miles per gallon levels that just the basic cars were achieving back in the mid-1980s.
Yeah, which blows a lot of people's minds, but we assure you, ladies and gentlemen, this is absolutely true.
Yeah, and we'll explain why.
Yeah, and here are a few words that we can use just to put you in the mindset of these 80s economy cars. Let's just throw some words out, Scott. So, inexpensive.
Yeah, no frills.
Yeah, no kidding. Lower power.
Yeah, definitely. How about, I keep going back to it, but bare bones. I mean,
yeah.
Really bare bones.
Lightweight.
No options. Lightweight is a good one. That's a really good one. Small.
Small, yeah, for sure. Compact. So these are, this kind of paints a picture of it. I remember when my folks bought a Geo Metro and I was a wee young tyke, and you've heard me complain about this before.
Yeah, I have. And you know what? At one point, I had a girlfriend that had a Geo Metro as well with a three-cylinder engine, right?
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing to me, that it had a three-cylinder engine.
It was a one-liter three-cylinder engine, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It didn't really need a whole lot more than that, did it?
No, because it was such a lightweight car. And we can talk some more in depth about the Metro itself a little bit later in the show. But what got me, I guess it was strange as a kid to see a three-cylinder engine. It was the first time I'd seen one in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And we would work on this car, change the oil and stuff.
Sure.
So it's so we got into the, under the hood and we're digging around. But also, after a time, man, that thing was weird to drive. It's a manual. So if you have a slippery clutch on a manual after a certain time, it becomes a situation where there's like one person who's good at driving it.
Sure.
And that was my dad. Mm-hmm. And
he knew all its tricks.
Yeah, he knew all the tricks, and no one else really did.
Mm-hmm.
And I, Mom, if you're listening, I think you may have driven it a couple times, but I completely don't remember.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's just the way it goes. I mean, someone does figure out all the little nuances of the mm-hmm. vehicle and realize, like, okay, I know that, I can't have the heater on when I'm trying to climb this hill because it just
right.
it takes too much power away from it. And that's the way these cars were. I mean,
uh-huh.
you'd try to go, accelerate up a hill and you'd feel like there's a rubber band pulling you backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them were just miserably low-powered vehicles, and they didn't have a whole lot going for them other than they were, efficient ways to get around town or back and forth to school mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're just basic, again, no frills, bare bones transportation, and that's what they were all about. And, gas sipping was what it was all about, too, because coming off of, the 1970s, the 1960s, I guess, well, sort of the 1970s, that's kind of what led to this, but
right.
A lot of cars still had big V8 engines, and that was what, a lot of people felt they absolutely had to have. So it was a bit of a trying time here in the United States to get, the U.S. public, the general public, to say, yeah, I'm going to give that Toyota a shot and see what it's
sure.
like, or that Honda Civic that's brand new at the time. I'll see what that's all about.
Right, and let's consider too that a lot of people had big mean cars from Detroit Steel straight from the '60s, right? The era in the '70s.
Yeah, if they're hanging on to it for a decade or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're going to trade in for this little hatchback that has a 1.5 liter engine that.
Right.
60 horsepower or something like that.
Right. It'll get you there eventually kind of car. I don't know.
It's a huge, huge switch. So that's the thing. And, I was really pondering this on the way in today and actually all of last week I have been.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of low dollar cars, like real, real cheap economy cars from this era.
Mm-hmm.
And one was kind of pushing into the 1990, it was a 1990 Festiva that I had.
Well, I think we should have a little bit of bleed over here into the 70s and into the 90s.
I agree. I mean, maybe the end of the 1970s and the beginning of the 1990s.
I mean,
there's so many cars to mention. I don't know if we're going to mention them all. And I think that's something we should mention is that there's more out there than we're going to be able to talk about today.
Oh, for sure.
And there's
even
diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's diesel variants. There's there's gasoline cars, but you're not going to find any hybrids. You're not going to find any all electrics or anything like that on our list.
No hydrogen or vegetable oil powered cars, etc.
No, exactly right. And later I want to get into this. And there's a really interesting write up about some of the older cars versus the newer cars, like almost a direct comparison, not mm-hmm. brand new because it's an older article, but mm-hmm. there's one that compares a 1989 Honda CRX HF
mm-hmm.
versus a 2009 Toyota Prius. So 20 years separate them, and we'll show you the difference.
And a lot of bells and whistles, a lot of technology.
Oh, yes, a lot of technology. That's the dramatic difference between them.
Now, Scott, I derailed us just a little bit. You had a Festiva.
I did have a Festiva. Yeah, I had a 1990 Festiva. And that's not the only economy car, I guess, I had. I also had a Mercury Lynx station wagon from the early 1980s.
Whoa.
And I want to say, I think I've quoted it as being a 1981, but it may have been a 1983, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure. And I don't really recall the mileage being outstanding, but it was, it was probably like close to 40 miles per gallon.
That's great,
that's
man.
Really good.
Yeah.
But I didn't stand out. What did stand out, however, was that Ford Festiva that I drove. It must have, I would swear on the highway that thing was getting close to 50 miles per gallon. I really would. And I don't know if I have any, old log books or anything to back that up or anything, but I think it's pretty routine for people with a car like that, or that car specifically, to get that kind of mileage. And I think that the claimed miles per gallon, I have it here somewhere, the claim miles per gallon of the Festiva was something like 35 in the city and 42 in the highway, but for the L version. And that was with a 1.3 liter engine, 63 horsepower is all it had, and a 10 gallon tank. So right there, you can see that, it's a much smaller engine. But that's not the only thing that sets economy cars apart. There were also a lack of features, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. No power windows, mm-hmm. right? That would be a big thing. You're not going to see a lot of bells and whistles in terms of entertainment options, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
Like you'll have a radio.
Sure.
But you wouldn't have necessarily a cassette player, mm-hmm. right? There's also not going to be high-end upholstery, leather interiors. Just imagine that on an Escort.
Almost all plastic interior.
Yeah.
And cheap plastic. Like not even, probably won't even have any kind of green to it, really.
Right, it's just lightweight.
Flat plastic. It's going to be lightweight. That's right.
Lightweight gray plastic.
Yeah, from that Metro, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. The interesting story about the Geo Metro, just a little bit of trivia, the whole genesis for that, which, is really a Suzuki, ultimately. Mm-hmm. The whole genesis for that was the idea of whether the engineers could build a 100 mpg four-passenger vehicle.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Well, a lot of, between the theory and the practice, a lot is often lost.
You know, when the Geo brand became a thing, within General Motors.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.